It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Hi, Leland. Well, Hazira Khan is a Muslim American and a Gold Star father. He lost his son, Army Captain Humayun Khan, in a suicide bombing in Iraq in 2004. And on Thursday night at the Democratic National Convention, he attacked Donald Trump for his call to ban Muslims from entering the country. He also said, suggesting that Trump had never read the U.S. Constitution and had sacrificed nothing and no one. So yesterday, Trump, in an interview with ABC's This Week, said he has sacrificed things and that he's helped thousands of Americans get jobs. He also said, implying that the Hillary Clinton campaign may have written the speech for Khan. Well, that caused major backlash on Twitter. The hashtag Trump sacrifices trended nationwide, and also Ohio Governor John Kasich even tweeting that he believed that Gold Star parents should be spoken about with honor and respect. Well, last night, Trump doubled down on his statements in a statement saying, quote, Captain Humayun Khan was a hero to our country, and we should honor all who have made the ultimate sacrifice to keep our country safe. The real problem here are the radical Islamic terrorists who killed him. While I feel deeply for the loss of his son, Mr. Khan, who has never met me, has no right to stand in front of millions of people and claim I have never read the Constitution, which is false, and say many other inaccurate things. Trump also questioned why Khan's wife stood alongside her husband and said nothing, suggesting she was silent because she is Muslim. Well, today, in an op-ed in the Washington Post, Ghazala Khan said, quote, walking onto the convention stage with a huge picture of my son behind me, I could hardly control myself. What mother could? Donald Trump has children whom he loves. Does he really need to wonder why I did not speak?
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That seems to be the big dust-up of the weekend and of last week. And it's nice to join you this morning. It is a huge dust-up. You should see my Twitter account, Facebook account. You know, death threats, wishing me, you know, dark diseases because of the things that I said about Hazira Khan. And so this is a subject that needs to be discussed, and we're going to discuss it. You know, Hazira Khan and his wife, I think, made one of the most compelling presentations at the Democratic Convention. I told you that last week. I thought it was very compelling. And he stood up and talked about his son was killed in an explosion serving with American troops. He is himself an American-born son. And so Hazira Khan talked about how much they love, you know, their patriotic, loyal Americans. For the first part of his speech, it was very moving because the wife, you know, with her beautiful veil, looking toward her husband and her husband speaking in a very compelling fashion. And then he changed his tone a bit, though. He was talking about his son first and about his service and how they were patriotic and loyal Muslims. And then he changed his tone a little bit. And I want you to hear what he had to say exactly for yourself before we talk about it. Here's cut 11.
If it was up to Donald Trump, he never would have been in America. Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. He disrespects other minorities, women, judges, even his own party leadership. He vows to build walls and ban us from this country. Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy. in this document, look for the words, liberty and equal protection of law. Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing, and no one. We cannot solve our problems by building walls, sowing division. We are stronger together, and we will keep getting stronger when Hillary Clinton becomes our president. In conclusion, I ask every patriot American, all Muslim immigrants, and all immigrants to not take this election lightly. This is a historic election, and I request to honor the sacrifice of my son. And on election day, take the time to get out and vote. And vote for the healer. Vote for the strongest, most qualified candidate, Hillary Clinton, not the divider. God bless you. Thank you.
All right, so there it was. You could see how powerful. And, you know, in American culture, you know, he struck every single chord just perfectly. And that's why there is so much confusion in how to respond to that. How does one respond when a man has given his son, no doubt about it, and he says in front of millions that he's a patriotic American, and then he says because he's a patriotic American and because he sacrificed his son, then you must listen to him. And if he comes after the other candidate, in this case it's Donald Trump, he tells him, you've sacrificed nothing, you've given nothing. Have you ever read the Constitution? So now let me see if I get this straight. So with the criticism that's coming back to Donald Trump, to people who are the two of us, oh, no, I'm kidding. There's just a few people who are saying, you know, wait a minute, scratching their head saying something doesn't compute here. What's wrong with this picture? You know, it's possible to respect parents in their grief and to respect the sacrifice of their child without buying everything that happened on that stage. Now, Kazir Khan says he wrote his speech. Absolutely. He wrote, you know, stronger together. That's what he thought of that, I'm sure. It had nothing to do with the campaign. And also just his attacks on Donald Trump, those are all his idea. I mean, those things that he said, he says he wrote them. In fact, his wife, you know, the famous writer, Mrs. Khan, wrote an editorial in the Washington Post that was already printed yesterday, rebuking Donald Trump for questioning why she didn't say anything on the stage. Now, I don't know, you know, I would never, what difference does that make? I'm not defending Donald Trump's stumbling. He does stumble and he's inarticulate, but he has every right to defend himself. Why doesn't he? I mean, if a person is, just because you have lost a loved one, this happens in our culture all the time. You've lost a loved one somewhere, whether it's 9/11 or whatever, and so therefore, everything you say must be the gold standard. And you're not allowed to have a different opinion. If you have a different opinion or you push back, then you know, how dare you? Because they lost a loved one. It's irrational thinking, I have to tell you. It's kind of the same principle as Senator John McCain. He was tortured by the Vietnamese, which is tragic. And no doubt he deserves credit for his time spent in the military and the sacrifice that he made and paid very dearly. That doesn't mean that he's allowed to have any opinion on borders, which he's shown his opinion on borders. That doesn't mean that John McCain is allowed to set policy in this country, which he has, by the way. And the excuse has been constantly because you know what he did in Vietnam. So therefore he can wreck public policy because he suffered in Vietnam. This is not rational. You know, the two are not the same. You can respect a person's service and their suffering and have empathy and respect, but you don't have to agree. And I kind of think you can push back. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk about Khazir Khan's speech, and we're going to talk about what might have actually been happening on that platform that was so very artfully done that most Americans, because we live in a time where we're just not given to clear thinking, we just aren't. What happened that night? All right, that's what I want to talk to you about. Then there was another response this morning. Of course, Mr. Khan, who, you know, he challenges then Senator McConnell and Paul Ryan to condemn Donald Trump because Donald Trump pushed back. So, gee, what do you think they did? Well, let's see. Let's listen to the next clip and you'll find out.
We do begin with Donald Trump firing back at a growing chorus of critics upset with how he responded to some harsh criticism from the parents of a fallen soldier.
Now, those parents who are Muslims were speaking on behalf of Hillary Clinton at the DNC when they suggested that Trump simply didn't understand the Constitution. Trump then firing back.
And now many in the GOP establishment, including some former rivals, are coming out of the cracks and taking the side of the Clinton campaign.
Well, Donald Trump facing a bipartisan backlash. Everyone from Hillary Clinton to Republican leaders on Capitol Hill are speaking out, and they are saying that Trump was simply wrong about what he did to Khazir Khan and his wife and their son, who was killed in Iraq.
Yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan condemned Trump for questioning why Khan's wife did not speak at the DNC. Instead, she stood silently on stage during her husband's speech, something the Khan family attributes to her overwhelming grief and not her religious beliefs.
Well, Trump's former rival, Jeb Bush, is now piling on. He said on Twitter that, quote, "This is so incredibly disrespectful of a family that endured the ultimate sacrifice for our country." And so was Hillary Clinton, who was asked about it repeatedly on the campaign trail yesterday. Listen.
To launch an attack, as he did, on Captain Khan's mother, a Gold Star mother, who stood there on that stage with her husband, honoring the sacrifice of their son. I don't know where the bounds are. I don't know where the bottom is.
But Trump is continuing to defend his remarks. He said this on Twitter, quote, "Captain Khan, killed 12 years ago, was a hero, but this is about radical Islamic terror and the weakness of our leaders to eradicate it."
All right, Jeff, hold the break just for a second, because this reminds me then, Hillary, I just don't know. This is so disrespectful to speak of a mother who's lost a son. I can't imagine. And so that reminded me of an interaction. Let's see, Hillary Clinton on, we do have this, I hope. Yes, Hillary Clinton, when she was called about the death of those four men in Benghazi, Patricia Smith is one of the mothers of one of those that was slain, and she went before the House committee, and Trey Gowdy asked her the question about, you know, her part in this. She didn't have quite the same tone of voice. This is cut five.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But the American
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
All right, so that's kind of the tone of voice, as I recall. And then Chris Wallace interviewed Hillary Clinton yesterday, and he touched on this, too, alluding to she has accused Pat Smith, the mother of Chris Smith, who was killed in Benghazi, of not remembering, you know, or she's wrong. I didn't say it was a video. And so Chris confronts her on that. That's cut four.
We've seen rage and violence directed at American embassies over an awful internet video that we had nothing to do with.
Well, that's not fair. If you go back and read everything that I said that day, I quoted people who talked about it being terrorism. I had already said it was terrorism. There was no doubt it was terrorism. There were riots, there were protests, there were efforts to breach our embassies.
Yeah, but not in Benghazi. That wasn't what that was about.
No, but I'm just telling you, we were looking at the whole world. The whole world was aflame.
Oh, she goes on to say that Pat Smith must have just, you know, maybe she just didn't remember correctly what she heard. And Tyrone Woods, Charles Woods, who's the father of Tyrone Woods, who was killed. Maybe they just didn't remember correctly. You can play the bumper, Jeff. Let's take the break. And when we come back, Claire Lopez will join us because Claire is an expert on the Muslim Brotherhood. She's expert on taqiyya, which means lying to infidels. That's you and me. She's an expert on probably what happened on that stage last Thursday, and I'm interested to know what she thinks. Formerly with the CIA, this has been her world for a very long time, and so, and also something absolutely dramatic was just published yesterday by the Islamic State. It's called something. I'll tell you in just a second, but it's really a threat to all of us, and you need to know about it. So stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife, Melanie, will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, if Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you.
If you could use 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The corruption of willful blindness in our government makes me angry, especially when the innocent are hurt or killed because of it. You may remember the disturbing image of the covered, lifeless body of a young child with her doll lying next to her from the recent attack in France. How can we help but feel angered over radical Islamic jihadist attacks? How can we help but feel the same disgust at the willful blindness which allows such terrorism to continue? Let's pray that our government will name and aggressively engage the enemy, hastening the day when such savagery will be halted here in America and internationally. Pray that we'll awaken and take responsibility for becoming informed. Pray that God will give us hearts filled with hatred for evil, yet tender with compassion for our enemy, both foreign and domestic, for his own glory. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
What kind of a Christian would I be if I gave my word, then didn't keep it? What does this kind of behavior say to others about the God I represent? When we make a promise, take an oath, or give our word, we must fulfill it. That's integrity. Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Think about your friends. How many times have they had someone make a promise to them and then not keep it? As Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to fall into the same trap. We need to be men and women of our word. There is a cost involved when we give our word, and we must be prepared to do whatever it takes to keep our word. Don't make promises that you don't intend to keep.
Life is a spiritual battle. Arm yourself with Real Answers. Visit the Real Answers website for resources that can help. RealAnswers.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next.
How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. An off-duty police officer and his family decided to grab some burgers the other day at a McDonald's in Brenham, Texas. But one of the workers refused to serve the officer. Brenham's police chief was furious, said nobody deserves to be treated like that. Television station KHOU first reported the incident. The worker has since been fired. There have been a string of similar incidents at fast food restaurants across the nation. Deputies denied service at Taco Bell's in Alabama and Arkansas. In Alexandria, Virginia, two workers at Noodles & Company were fired. They refused to serve a police officer. Simply outrageous. But we live in a country where police officers have been marginalized and maligned and now targeted for discrimination and even worse. And in spite of it all, these brave men and women still put their lives on the line every day to protect and serve. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
In addition to this, there was in the speech that my good wife asked me to refrain from saying, I wanted to say we reject all violence. We are faithful, patriotic, undivided loyalty to this country. We reject all terrorism. She asked me not to say that because that was not the occasion for such a statement. We say to his ignorance, I address his ignorance, that the most effect of the terrorism in the menace of terrorism had been Muslims in the world. Muslims hate this menace of terrorism as much as any other place. It is our duty to keep this country, our country, beautiful country, safe. We have always thought of that way. We will continue to do our part to keep it safe and beautiful. What he cites in the name of Islam and all that, that is not Islam at all. I wish he would have somebody would have put something in his head that these are terrorists, these are criminals, these folks have nothing to do with Islam.
All right, that was Ghazira Khan on CNN, and you heard what he said. So terror and the people that are committing terrorist acts have nothing to do with Islam. That sounds like a lot like the American left to me. Sounds like the Council on American-Islamic Relations to me. But then I'm not the expert. Claire Lopez is. She's joining us from the Center for Security Policy. Claire has a long time history in the service of this nation with the agency, as they say. And she joins us this morning. Good morning, Claire.
Hi, Sandy. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you with us. All right, you're the analyst here. So I here's the thing. I spent a long time before you joined me, and I last week too, kind of tackling this as so few will, really. Claire, I mean, you see the Republican, you know, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan all scampering, you know, because Ghazira Khan challenged them to speak up. And so they are certainly doing that. And the narrative is that Donald Trump does not have a right to defend himself. He should say nothing because this family, this husband and wife, lost their son. He was a hero. They're gold star parents. How dare Trump say anything? Claire, help us make some sense of this. What happened on Thursday night?
Well, you know, as many of us watched, this couple, the Khan couple, who are parents of a fallen U.S. soldier, Captain Khan, who died in 2004 in Iraq, spoke to the Democratic National Convention, and they eulogized their hero son, but at the same time presented themselves. She in full Islamic dress, including a hijab, as devout and faithful Muslims. Now, there's a bit of a contradiction here. As devout, faithful Muslims, They know perfectly well what the commandments of their faith are. Now, they may not be obedient to those commandments, and that's their right, as long as they live in a free country like America. But the commandments of the faith are still there. And a Muslim like their son, who died fighting against other Muslims, has died an apostate. And they know that. And they yet chose to highlight that infidelity of their son before an international audience of millions. Now, the recent edition of Dabiq, this is the magazine, the online magazine of the Islamic State, was just issued yesterday, on a Sunday of all things, of course, and it is called Break the Cross. That's the name of this particular issue. Dabiq 15 came out yesterday.
Claire, let me repeat that. Break, B-R-E-A-K, Break the Cross. And we're going to actually, after, yeah, well, we're going to talk about that at length in a few minutes. But what is, how's that, was that, how is that related to the Khan family? Because I know it is.
Because the magazine highlights the son, the captain, Humayun Saqib Muzam Khan was his name, and includes a photo in Dabiq 15 of his gravestone at Arlington Cemetery. Underneath the photo of the gravestone, which itself, by the way, is forbidden in Islam, it's not allowed to have graves or gravestones. The caption of that photo says, "Beware of dying as an apostate." So the son, because he took up arms against fellow Muslims, died as an apostate in the eyes of Islam. The family knows this. So the question has to be then, why were they up there sort of highlighting all of this in front of the entire world? Well, I think we have to understand that there are a couple of messages going on. The father, of course, is a lawyer. He works on immigration matters, helping to bring Muslim immigrants into the country. And his objective there was a political one, to smear Donald Trump, who has spoken out against the unrestrained import, influx of Muslims who cannot be properly screened. And called for a temporary moratorium on such immigration until the United States can work out a proper screening protocol for such Muslims. And that political objective took precedence over the fact that he was highlighting his family's shame in a way, not the shame of the son as an American. As we look at it, the son was an absolute hero and died in service to his country. But from the Muslim perspective, and this is what we have to get inside of, they look at that son as an apostate who died fighting other Muslims, which is absolutely forbidden in Islamic law.
Claire, a question. Is there any hint then, obviously, how do we know? They must have known that this attack against their husband, their son, or this, you know, this article exposing their son as an apostate according to Islam was going to come out in Dabiq. I mean, how coincidental is that?
No,
that
was I don't think they maybe did. I think that, of course, this issue of Dabiq is 82 pages long, full color, many different articles. It had to be in production for quite a long time. And I doubt very much that the Khan family had any idea that their son would be featured in it. And I suspect that that addition may have been made at the last minute or recent, you know, shortly before the issue came out yesterday. So, no, I don't think the Khan family probably knew that. But what they certainly did know is that within Islam, I mean, perhaps within their own mosque, but certainly within Islam, their son would be held to be an apostate because he died fighting against other Muslims, even maybe killing some.
But so the question to me is, then does that mean some there's some redemption in them cooperating with the, we didn't release the Muslim Brotherhood line, that Islam is so peaceful and that there's no violence in it. I mean, do you see any link at all? I mean, is the cooperation with this whole deception part of their penance? Is that possible?
Well, I wouldn't call it penance. I would call it collaboration. And we do see, of course, that CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, Muslim Brotherhood Front, Hamas, essentially, the Hamas representative in America, CARE issued a statement yesterday and put out a press release calling on Trump to apologize, quote, for disparaging the parents of a Muslim who died while serving in the U.S. Army in Iraq. So we can already see the agenda taking shape. Whether the Khan family collaborated with CARE or not, I have no idea. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But CARE certainly is taking advantage, as it often does, of the situation. Again, what we have to understand, there are always two messages being sent. And we can go back to the 1993 meeting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where CARE was actually founded in an attempt to distance the naming from Hamas in America, which was already well known. And there, Omar Ahmed, a founder of CARE, caught on FBI monitoring of the meeting, explained it in these words. He said, "We will recognize the source of any message which comes out of us. You send two messages, one to the Americans and one to the Muslims." Omar Ahmed, CARE founder, 1993. So there are two messages in Khan's message, too. Muslims heard and understood that the political message, Trump must be defeated, because if he is not, the jig is up for all of those who support the Islamic supremacist objectives promoted by jihad and Sharia, and certainly immigration of non-vetted Muslims into this country would certainly be curtailed, at least for a time. And so that's the political message that allowed Khan to speak. But, you know, the message that many Americans have heard is, you know, this is a grieving father and mother of a hero son. And that is also true. But there are two messages, and we just have to realize that there are two.
Claire, my position on this always is, this is what I said last week, because I thought, you know, he was compelling. It was a confusing moment, because then how are we to think about this? And of course, my thoughts are these, that for any Muslim in America who truly does love this country and truly is patriotic, I've always felt, especially after 9/11, that's when I first started talking about these kinds of things, it really does fall on them to distinguish themselves. I think of Zudi Jasser. I think of it is incumbent upon them to prove verbally, whatever, that we distance ourselves from Sharia. We distance ourselves from killing infidels, from exacting terrorism. We do not embrace that part of the, whatever they would say, you know, like Zudi does. I think it's unreasonable, absolutely unreasonable for them to think that we should not have any concerns about bringing in large numbers of Muslims without vetting them, or that we would confuse all Muslims with the kind that are exacting terror around the globe. Claire, I want your response to that, but can you stay with me a little bit longer?
Sure will. Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks. And I want your response to that when we come back, because you know I value your expert opinion. So this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
Last year in October, 25 inches of rain fell in the state of South Carolina. 16,000 homes had flood damage, and now you and I get a chance to bless them as they wait for somebody to come and help rebuild their homes. 8 Days of Hope 12, Black River, South Carolina. We expect thousands of volunteers from around the country to come to that beautiful state. You can come for 3 days. You can come for all 8 days. We love families. We need roofers and electricians and plumbers and carpenters. And we need people like me that are less skilled, but just are excited to serve somebody in need. 8 Days of Hope 12, Black River, South Carolina. Hope to see you there.
The trip is October 8th through 15th. Volunteer for a minimum of 3 days at 8daysofhope.com. And if you'd like to help but are not able to go, financial donations are also needed. Sign up or give at 8daysofhope.com.
OneNewsNow.com with news, videos, and stories from the American Family Association.
To determine whether the girl can take her baby home or the state will retain custody.
Case for children being homeschooled.
Minimum wage increases in New York would do more harm than good.
OneNewsNow.com features the latest breaking stories from across the U.S. and around the world and news of the challenges Christians face today. Bookmark OneNewsNow.com.
Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Ron Jones, and I'm glad to tell you something good has come to American Family Radio. Something Good is a daily half-hour Bible teaching program that I'm hosting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. In a world full of so much bad news, we're glad to bring you something good. Learn more at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
As Christians, we occasionally need to retreat from the culture war for a time of renewal. The American Family Association invites you to retreat with us to the mountains of North Carolina, October 3rd through 6th, for the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove. Speakers at this year's event will include AFA President Tim Wildman, Governmental Affairs Director Sandy Rios, Messianic Jewish Apologist Dr. Michael Brown, Marquis Laughlin, founder of Acts of the Word Ministries, and more. As in years past, we'll gather at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. Capacity is limited to 400 participants, so make your plans to attend soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 2, followed by option 1. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th, in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In the wake of the brutal jihadist murder of an elderly priest in Normandy last week, some French Muslims tried to make amends. The senior imam in Paris called for reforms, and members of his faith attended masses Sunday in solidarity with Catholics for their loss. The question is not just whether such gestures are authentic expressions of remorse and self-criticism. It's also whether they are too late and too little for France. The problem for the French is partly sheer demographics. 10% of France's population is Muslim, and many of them are unassimilated, Sharia-adherent Islamic supremacists. Among the young, the number of Muslims is as high as 20%, and in some parts of the country, 50%. If past dynamics continue, a significant portion will be sympathetic to, if not actually prepared to engage in, jihad. Can France survive? This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sajid, to you first. You are a Trump supporter. Are you happy with the way your candidate has handled all of this?
I am very happy. Wanted to start. No question about it, it's a supreme sacrifice, and Mr. Trump has said several times that he appreciates his sacrifice, has said nothing against Captain Khan. But at the same time, I wanted to say that this is not the right thing to do, gaining the political capital on the death of somebody. So many other soldiers have died and sacrificed their lives. So many other Muslim soldiers, they have died. That's not fair.
Are you suggesting that even appearing at the DNC means that this was wielding political capital for him, for this Gold Star family to speak on behalf of their son, that was capitalizing on the politicization of their situation?
Yes, I do. There are so many other soldiers have died, but let me say on DNC floor, and that the copy of a constitution. Mr. Trump is a graduated from University of Pennsylvania, a highly prestigious school, and then making fun of it without knowing everything, either what kind of opinion he has. Even then, I believe that Mr. Trump and Captain Khan has the same issue fighting against radical Islam or trying to make America safe. There's no difference in between. And people are sick of the low-energy politicians. Hillary Clinton has 40 years in the politics. What he has done, what she has done before, why she need another 40 years? Current administration, what they have done for Muslims or making this country safe again, open borders and globalization, the idea, people have rejected it.
That's the Zajid Darir. Sorry about the pronunciation, and on MSNBC, and he's a Trump supporter. I was just making the point that I do think that Muslims who are loyal to this country, who love it, who respect our Constitution, who want to become American citizens in the fullest sense, it really, after 9/11 and with all the terrorist attacks around the country, we need to know if that's their position. I want to hear it. And so, Claire, I want to know, Claire Lopez is my guest from the Center for Security Policy. Claire, would that be your, how do you feel about what I just said?
I think you were right, spot on, Sandy, with what you said there just before the break, that if an individual wishes, you know, to distinguish his or her position from doctrinal Islam, you know, as long as you live in America, you can call yourself whatever you want, and of course, criticizing, condemning, or taking issue with anything in the Quran or Sharia is apostasy. But that aside, if that's what they want to do, then they do need to make clear, no, I do not support jihad in furtherance of Islamic supremacist objectives to impose Sharia, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's not what Mr. Khan did. He not only did not do that, he stood up there and pretended and fed the American people and everyone else listening a load of hogwash that this is not what Islam is, that Islam is not about jihad and Sharia. And, of course, he was lying, and that's why I quoted to you, that line from Omar Ahmed at the 1993 CARE meeting about the two messages. Muslims know the truth that Islamic doctrine obligates every single Muslim to support jihad in one way or another. They know that. And they know that Mr. Khan has not renounced that. Now, the new issue of Dabiq, because we were talking about before, that just came out yesterday, and features Captain Khan, or his gravestone is pictured in the issue. But on another page in that issue, it says very clearly, do not be taken in by claims that the real jihad is giving dawah, dawah meaning the invitation to Islam or persuasion to accept Islam. Rather, it says, the real dawah is waging jihad. Now, we know that the Islamic State and what it publishes is the truest expression of Islam in the world today. And that statement in its new edition, you know, can be backed up with all kinds of citations to the Islamic doctrine in the Quran, Hadith, the Sunnah, and Sharia.
So Mr. Khan, at the very least, was being dishonest with us. And right. I was incensed, and I felt he had no right to waive the Constitution and to insult Mr. Trump in the way that he did. Now, I'm not in the habit, you know, Mr. Trump, I'm not saying that in support of his candidacy because I'm not doing that right now. But I think, you know, just to insult an American, any of us, to weigh the Constitution and say you haven't read it, well, Mr. Khan does not know about the American public school system when Donald Trump was raised. You better believe each and every one of us memorized that thing practically. So that's just ridiculous. He knows not what he's talking about. And also, Claire, just what you alluded to, that faithful Muslims can't embrace our Constitution, can they?
Not if they're going to be faithful to the doctrine of Islam, no. And we don't know really to what parts of the Constitution Mr. Khan was referring in any case. He never specified. Now, of course, the First Amendment covers the traditional practice of religion as the Founding Fathers envisioned it, which means prayer and worship, devotion, diet, fasting, pilgrimage, all of that 100% covered under the First Amendment, as is free speech. However, we also have Article 6 of the Constitution, which says the supreme law of the land shall be the Constitution. Now, that means that if the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, then Sharia cannot be. Yeah. And that anyone who supports, aids, abets the overthrow of the Constitution for its replacement by Sharia is in violation of the Constitution. Yeah. Now, Mr. Khan did not denounce Sharia. He did not separate himself from it. And he did not say which parts of the Constitution he thought that Mr. Trump ignoring or not paying proper attention to.
Yeah, it was an emotional plea, not based on facts. And then of course, Mr. Trump, as he tries to defend himself, he's terrible because these people lost their son. It really is not, and I was making this point before you joined me, we have reached a point in this country where when anyone has a someone killed in some tragedy, it's not just Muslims, it's anyone, then suddenly we must accept everything they say as the gold standard. And, you know, because that somehow shows respect, where there's no separation of respect for a person's mourning, respect for a person's sacrifice, but not having to accept and embrace every opinion, every political position that person embraces. It's just such poor critical thinking. But I want us
right.
to get...
I mean, you know, look, who listen to him... Can pay respect and hold the sacrifice of his son in the highest esteem, and we do. But it's Mr. Khan who politicized the whole thing. It's Mr. Khan who went up there in front of the Democratic National Convention to bash the Republican candidate for something we're not quite sure what he meant about. It's Mr. Khan who got up there and lied about Islam. You know, nobody else did that. He chose to do that.
I want, before we run out of time here, Claire, this Dabiq 15, which you've already described, and it's the official publication magazine of the Islamic State. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you say that this issue is different. This is different. Explain why.
Well, Christians take note because, as I said, it's entitled Break the Cross. And the entire issue is devoted to an assault on Christianity. Now, we know that the doctrine of Islam is very hard over on the oneness of God, that there is only one God and there are no sons, there are no offshoots, there are no nothing next to God, and saying that there is something next to the one and only creator of the world is the worst crime, sin within Islam there can possibly be. It's called shirk. And so this issue attacks Christianity on the doctrine, of course, of the Trinity and dissects that in a great deal of detail. But there's an interesting part also where they devote an entire several pages to an article called Why We Hate You and Why We Fight You. And they're very clear about this. And from their perspective, you know, their deeply held belief that Jesus Christ is not divine and that to hold him equal with God is idolatry, these six different fundamental reasons why we hate you and why we fight you begin to make more sense. Christians are disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and place other partners beside him. They fault our secular liberal societies, which they believe to be immoral. They blame the West and Christianity as the faith of the West for allowing atheists who deny the existence of the Creator. They cite the West and Christianity for crimes against Islam, including mocking Islam, desecrating the Quran, and vilifying the laws of Sharia. Accuse the West Christians of crimes against Muslims, wars, bombs that are killing Muslim men, women, and children, and the Western invasion of Muslim lands. These are their complaints. These are the things that they hold against the West. All of that said, the bottom line for this issue is a final warning. And we must understand that within Islam, because Muhammad did it before he attacked a place, a town, he would give a warning, a call to Islam called Dawah, which, yes, it's a call to Islam, but it is a very serious warning and an implied threat that if you don't accept, jihad is coming. The hammer of jihad will come down on top of you. So that's what this issue is. Accept Islam to Christians. Accept Islam or jihad is coming. So in that sense, people really need to take a look at it. It's online. You can read it. It's in English, of course. But understand that this is a very serious threat, in particular to Christians, but more broadly the West.
Yeah, we'll put that link on our Facebook page because I want people to read it. But now, here, Claire, here's the point I also have tried to make. When you say Christian, and they say Christian, they're not talking. Look, I'm an evangelical Christian. I wear it on my sleeve and I profess it from my heart. But my listeners who, you know, love Right Wing Watch and listen and, you know, write terrible things, terrible threats to me and wishing me ill, they are also from the point of the Islamists in the broad category of Christian. Are they not?
You know, when Dabiq and other publications and statements speak this way, that they characterize the entire Western world, essentially, as Christian. Now, of course, there are many other faiths among us, including Jews, but others as well. But they characterize the entire West, and especially the United States, of course, because we're very strongly majority Christian here, as Christian, and they'll use the term crusaders. So it's a broad brush treatment that they're using, yes, of course, but this is how they look at it, and they understand that Christianity has imbued the principles of our legal system, Judeo-Christian to be sure, but they're characterizing, at least in this issue specifically, as Christian being their enemy. And again, the foundational principle, the most closely emotional doctrine for Muslims is that Christians hold Jesus Christ to be divine, and they think that is utter, utter idolatry and blasphemy.
But the point that I want to make is that even people listening to you and me who do not believe in the Trinity, don't believe Jesus was divine, don't care about it, are in this broad category. Mm-hmm. They will not be spared from the violence that the Islamic State and the Islamists have in store for all of us because we are in that broad category. And I think, Claire, you are such an expert on this. I will just mention, and then we'll have to do another interview, but this morning I'm reading in the Sunday Express that in Turkey now already there's a huge backlash against Christians. Violence in some of the churches is just beginning. And so it is a war. Oh, my goodness, it is a war. And we'll put the Dabiq 15, again, the link on our Facebook page. And you need to give it to your pastors, and you need to read it and see that the people that are warring against us are not backward, remote persons. They are sophisticated thinkers who have these reasons for hating us. They lay it out. It's a good thing to understand it because it's coming our way. Claire Lopez, again, with the Center for Security Policy. Claire, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate so much you bringing clarity to this situation.
Thanks, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.